All right, kids, you can head back to junior church now if you'd like. We have a junior worship time for children up through fifth grade. And if you'd like, you can head on back there now to your class. Of course, you're welcome to stay up here as well if you would like. So as they make their way back there, I want to thank all of the children's workers, thank all of the praise team folks who practice and put together the music that we sing on Sunday morning. We are in part 8. If you brought your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 today. We're in part 8 of a 12-part series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we've called Life, that we've been looking at just simply how Jesus communicates to us how it is that we ought to live life. And if this is sort of here dropped in the middle of this and you're like, well, maybe I'd like to hear some of the earlier things, you can listen online. You can also get CDs that are available as we left on the main entry. I did find it sort of interesting that I think it was the announcement the week after I did the one where he said, you know, if you could use the CDs for Frisbees, that all the CDs were taken. So I'm not really sure what that means, but all of the past CDs of this series were taken last week, but Scott made some extra copies, so if you would like to have some of those are out there on display. And if you want to use them as CDs, that's fine with me. If you want to use them as coasters, that's cool. I suggest you listen to them first, but hey, whatever it is. It makes me feel good when they're all gone. Now, anyway, here's a question for you as we begin this morning. Are you interested in a worry-free life? How much would you pay for a pill that if you took it once a day or once a week or whatever the frequency would be, that it would eliminate worry and unhealthy stress from your life? How much would you pay? If you could come up with that, how rich would you be if you could market a pill such as that? Or maybe a shot. Maybe some people wouldn't want to take a shot. But if you could take a shot that would eliminate worry, that would drive away worry from your life, how long would the line be for the clinic for folks to line up to take that particular shot? According to the American Psychological Association, unhealthy stress in the workplace costs the American economy $300 billion. $300 billion from things like absenteeism, legal costs, medical costs, insurance costs, people being late to work. Over $300 billion, according to the American Psychological Association, is lost because of stress and worry. I want to show you a couple of cartoons. This one, the gentleman says, every day for me is an uphill struggle. On the positive side, it's great for my glutes. So, you know, there's always a positive side to those things. I guess things have been kind of stressful at the office. Tomorrow is bring your therapist to work day. That may hit closer to home to some of you than others. And then the last one is, I don't know if it's burnout, but I set off the smoke alarm 6 times already today. So it's nice to laugh at it, but it's not really a laughing matter. Now, Jesus is going to address this, and he is going to tell you in the Scripture, and he's not the only one. There's other passages in Scripture that are going to say to you and to me, do not worry. And I'm going to share with you from the Word of God, if you've not seen this before, that you can, in fact, eliminate worry from your life. Now, some of you are thinking that what I'm doing is simply trivializing your situation. If you knew my situation, if you knew the situation that I find myself in, you wouldn't say that I could eliminate worry from my life. I have to worry. I have to carry this on. It's the situation that I've been dealt. It's the hand that God, I guess, has dealt me. And I want you to understand, I'm not trying to minimize anybody's situation. And I'm not trying to trivialize the damage that can happen when we get overcome by worry or stress. But I want you to understand how amazing the God is that we serve. That if you come into a relationship with the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ, He says that you can eliminate worry from your life. And we face a decision. We face a crisis of belief. Are we going to believe what others may tell us? Are we going to believe what our experience tells us? Or are we going to choose to believe what God tells us and what God says for us? And here's a sentence in your notes. You can fill it. After today, if you've not heard of this before, or maybe you're going to start anew today, after today, every bit of worry that impacts your life will be invited in by you. We will not be able to say, oh, I am a victim of worry. I am a victim of some sort of unhealthy stress. But according to the words of Jesus and the words of the Bible, when we invite worry into our life, like one of those sort of bad guests that we bring in, but we can tell them to leave. We can say, I'm tired of you hanging out the house. Maybe, did you ever have one of those folks, like maybe when you were in college, you lived on the dorm and you had a particular person that always seemed to find his or her way to your room, you know, and nobody, you didn't want them in your room. I was probably that person to other people. But anyway, worry, according to the Word of God, we can say, vamoos, get out. Get out of here. I want you to believe that. I want you to see that from the Word of God. Now, one more quick sort of caveat. Some stress is a normal part of everyday life. It's just a normal part of everyday life. In fact, the word stress did not start out as a psychological term. The word stress is a mechanical term. It's used to describe the load that is placed on a structure or a bridge or a road. All right? If you're on a bridge and there are cars going across the bridge, or even sometimes wind induces stress onto that structure. That's where the word was used, or how the word came to be understood. And so if you're a civil engineer, mechanical engineer, or whatever, you design a bridge, you design a road to be able to bear a certain amount of stress. And you even design it to bear even more stress than you would normally think that is going to come onto that structure. So some stress is just a normal everyday part of life. And you and I cannot go through our life without stress. You can't go through life unloaded. You can't go through life without ever a care or a concern or something that is burdening you. So I'm not saying that what Jesus is saying here or what the Bible is saying is that you can go through life with, you know, just sort of carefree and la la. No. In fact, the Scripture says that we are to be concerned for one another. Paul writes in one of his letters that he has a daily or a regular concern for the churches that he sponsored, that he started. We are commanded in the Scripture to care for one another. We all have a load. We all have stress in our lives, and much of that is natural and normal and even healthy for us. It's what do we do with the unhealthy stuff? What do we do when we transition from care and concern into worry? And it's a very fine line, or it's a very difficult time sometimes to know how that all works out. And in fact, in the New Testament, which was written in the Greek language, the same word is translated both worry and care. It's the same word. So when Jesus says here in Matthew 6, which we're going to read in a second, don't worry, the word is the same for care, but obviously in other parts of Scripture we know that he's not telling us not to care. So it's the context of what flows next. And I think that's the situation in our life. Genuine things that we care about and that we should care about and that are important to us can spill over or grow into something beyond care and concern, and now it becomes into worry and something that binds us and something that leads to consequences that we don't want to see in our lives or in the lives of other people. Worry and unhealthy stress are not diseases. Now, they can lead to diseases. They can lead to issues. And perhaps in some rare situations, someone could even describe. But Jesus never says in the Scripture, for example, he never says, don't catch a cold. He never says that. Because you know what? That's going to happen to you. You're going to catch a cold. Jesus never says, don't get sick. Never says that in the Scripture. Because you know what? You're going to get sick. It's going to happen. But he does say, don't worry. And so if we're going to say to ourselves, well, hey, I'm going to worry and I like my worry and this worry is just part of who I am, then we have to decide, well, does Jesus know what he's talking about? Does the God of the universe who created and sustained the universe, does he really know what he's saying? Or when he says don't worry, do we look at that like, unfortunately, many people look at certain parts of the Sermon on the Mount and just sort of dismiss it as, well, that doesn't really apply. Or those are just sort of nice words to put up on a wall somewhere, but they're not really words that I need to live by. So if we walk in here today and we've been beset by worry and by unhealthy stress, we're faced with the Scripture which says, don't worry, and we're faced with a decision of how we're going to take those words. Are we going to say that Jesus doesn't really know my situation? And if he did, he wouldn't have said those, or those words don't apply to me. Or are we going to say that he knows every situation, and that he has the ability to make those words a reality for every single person, not only in this room, but all whom we know? how do we land on that, and how you decide to land on that, and how you proceed from that may shape the course of the rest of your life. So, let's look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verses 25, going through 34. Therefore, I say to you, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Now, stature there really, I think, is better translated the idea of span, like lifespan. Because, I mean, being short of stature, I would have liked to have been able to add a cubit to my stature, but couldn't do it. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. For Solomon is the Old Testament king, the wisest man who ever lived. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Very familiar passage of Scripture to many of you. So here's my big idea. The one thing that I'd like you to leave, if you forget everything else, try to remember this. I can live without worry when I serve and seek God. I can live without worry when I serve and seek God. Now, right up front, I've got about 15 minutes left. Well, maybe 20. But when we talk about something like this, I am not trying to oversimplify this. All right, this is not like, okay, serve and seek God. There's a lot of things that we can break down underneath that. And I don't have time to talk about all of that this morning. But this is the part of the cooking process, as I've been talking to you about this whole series as we go through. This is the time when you go home this week and you think about, okay, well, what does this mean to serve God? What does this mean to seek God? How does that fit in my daily life? How does that fit with words like expectations? And how does that fit with situations and people? Don't simply dismiss, oh, I can live without worry if I serve and seek God. Oh, yeah, sure, that works for him, but it doesn't work for me because here's... No. I'm not trying to oversimplify this. I'm trying to just show you what Jesus says, and then what it's up to you, it's up to me, to take the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to help us to see the details of how these words actually are true for us. And so the two things that Jesus really emphasizes here in this passage are the two words, serve and seek. And so that's what we will set our time on for the remaining minutes that we have. So the question for you and for me is simply, do you serve God? If you don't want worry in your life, if you want to eliminate worry, or at least eliminate, you know, it comes and then, whew, you can get rid of it. The first thing is, do you serve God? The preceding verse, right before the ones that we read, we started in verse 25. In verse 24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And there, it's after that verse that we get verse 25 where Jesus says, therefore. So that sets the stage for the discussion that he's giving us in verses 25 through 34. The idea that Jesus is trying to get across to us, and the idea that the whole Scripture is trying to get across to us, is that you can only follow one thing. You can follow God or you can follow the world, or I would submit that you can follow God or you can follow Satan. Most people don't think they're following Satan, but if they're not following God, they're in fact following Satan, even if it's unknown to them. You can't serve two masters. And the great thing about service as it relates to us in the Word of God is that when we serve God, we also come into a relationship with God. So choosing to serve God is not like you're a servant where the master doesn't care about you and you know you serve and serve and serve and there's undue no, it's not like that. It's a relationship with the living God. We come into a relationship with God, and the great thing about that is that you belong to him then. When you come into a relationship with this great God through his son Jesus Christ, you don't become just a hired hand. you become a son. You become a child of God. The foundation to eliminating worry is knowing that you serve and belong to God. That's the foundation. In Christ, you belong to God. You cannot forget that. The idea of eliminating worry makes no sense if we don't rest on the foundation that in Christ we belong to God. Now, the two things that people in Jesus' day were worried about were food and clothing. That's what they were worried about. Those were the basic necessities. They didn't have the ability to be concerned about other things like football teams or car payments or anything like that. Right? They didn't have any of those things. So it's food and clothing. That's what they're concerned about. And so those are the illustrations that Jesus uses. He says, hey, look at the birds. The birds don't sow. They don't sow seed. They don't plow. They don't till. They don't do any of that stuff. And yet God feeds them. He takes care of them. He says, look at the lilies. You know, look at the flowers. Look how beautiful they are. And they don't toil. They don't work. They don't spin themselves into existence. God does that. And that stuff just ultimately is just going to go away. It has no eternal value. And so if God so cares about the birds and he so cares about the flowers, don't you think by extension he cares about you because you are of more value than those things? Because you belong to me, God says. Because you belong to God. You have great value because you belong to him. Now, whether you've thought of this or not, most of us have used this very simple and powerful truth many, many times. If you have children, I can promise you at some point in your life, when they were in a situation where they were afraid or frightened, you said something like this, "Don't worry, Daddy's here." You said that. "Don't worry. Don't worry, sweetie. Mommy will be with you. Mommy's right here." Some of you may have even said something like, "Well, you're a Smith, and Smiths stick together," okay? Or whatever the word might be. But you said that, right? What are you trying to do when you say that? You are trying to eliminate fear. You're trying to eliminate worry by simply doing what? Saying, "You belong to me. Mommy's here, sweetie. You're with me. You're one of mine. You're a Smith, and Smiths stick together because you belong to the Smiths. We're going to take care of you. You don't have to worry." We've all done this in our lives. And that is exactly what God is saying to you and I in Scripture as it relates to worry. He's saying, "Don't worry because you belong to me. And I am with you wherever you go. And you are of more value than all of these other creatures that I take care of. And I will take care of you." Now, it may not be exactly in the way that you want to be taken care of. You may not be provided for in exactly the way that you want to be provided for. But because through Christ you belong to God, there is no reason to worry. Because he is your Father. And even when children can't figure that out, we use that argument. We say, "Look, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, and I know you don't understand this, honey, but I'm with you. You belong to me." And all that God is asking you to do and me to do is to say, "Look, I know you can't figure it out. I know you don't understand how tomorrow is going to unfold. I know you don't understand how the bills are going to get paid. I know you don't understand how the sickness is going to be dealt with, but I just need you to know that you belong to me. And I will not let you down." How much of our worry can be driven away when we simply recognize that and live in the light of that truth? Just as you wanted your children, when they were small, to stop worrying about the monster under the bed or in the closet or whatever you were because you were with them, God says, "Hey, I just operate in the same principle. That's what I want you to do to me." Flip over on the back side of your notes. One of the things that worry really impacts, or one of the ways worry impacts, is the future. And the fact that I belong to God removes worry about my future. I belong to God. I don't have to worry about my future. I don't know what my future holds, but I don't have to worry about it because I know who holds my future. One of the things I like to always remind myself is, I do not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And it's God. And He loves me because I belong to Him. So I don't have to worry about that. Mark Twain, the great theologian, well, not really, but Mark Twain said, my life has been filled with calamities, some of which actually happened. I ran across that. Isn't that great? There's been research done. I ran across a study from the University of Cincinnati that, I don't know how they exactly prove this sort of stuff, but they said that 85% of the things that we worry about never come to pass. And most of the stuff that we worry about that does come to pass, we figure out ways to deal with it, or situations and circumstances change. And so most of what we worry about never actually comes to pass. But we are concerned about it, and obviously Mark Twain was as well. But if you serve God, you do not have to worry about your future, because God has your back regarding the events that are still in front of you. God has your back regarding the events that are still in front of you. Do you serve God? Do you belong to God? Now, one last point on this, and that is this. If you don't serve God, you should be very worried. If you don't serve God, you should be very worried. These promises that He's making are to children of God. We're not born children of God. We're born, according to the Scripture, children of wrath. We're born separated from God. It is because of our sin that we are separated from Him, and it is only through a relationship with Jesus Christ that we can have forgiveness of sin and that we can be adopted into the family of God, born again into the family of God, whatever phrase you want to use from the Scripture. And so if we don't belong to God, we have manifold reasons to be worried, the chiefest of which is eternity. The Bible says that there is a heaven for those who belong to God and there's a hell for those who don't. And hell is an incredible place of suffering, incredible torment, and just, I mean, it's a horrible place. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the whole Scripture says to you, be worried. Be worried. But change that. Because our God saves, as we sang about. There is hope in His name. And it doesn't matter what your resume is, and it doesn't matter what your report card is, and it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters, do you believe, along with the truth of Scripture, that you are a sinner? I mean, everybody believes that. Okay? Husbands, if you don't think you're a sinner, ask your wife. Kids, if you don't think you're sinners, ask your mom and dad. Or ask your friends. And that sin has to be... there's a penalty for that sin. Again, we understand that. Somebody steals your car, you want there to be a penalty for that. And the penalty for that is separation from God in a place called hell, according to God. But through Christ, believing that Jesus is God in the flesh, that He died on the cross, that He rose again, we can have eternal life. We can be adopted into the family of God. And all of these promises about worry and fear apply to us when we do that. And if you've not been there and you're not there yet, and you're still, we're here to help you make that transition from not a child of God to child of God. From someone who ought to be very worried to someone who need not worry. But there's one more thought. It's not only do you serve God, because I think many of you, most of you in this room this morning, have a relationship with God. You believe what I just said about Jesus. You've accepted or received Christ as your Savior. But we can still be very susceptible to worry. And the other issue is not just serve God, but do you seek God? Do you seek Him? Verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. So when we get to be worrying about the clothing or the food or whatever, Jesus says, don't do that. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to seek Me first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And everything else will be added unto you. So it's not just don't worry. There's something to do to replace the worry. Serve God. Come into a relationship with Him. And then seek Him. Now, let me go back to the children. One of the things that as a child can lead to worry and anxiety is when I feel separated from my mom or dad, when they're not with me. I might know I'm related to them. I know I'm a Smith. But I can't see Mommy Smith. I can't see Dada Smith, Papa Smith. I can't see Grandma Smith. We're separated. We're isolated. Maybe I've walked away. I know relationally who I am, but I'm still concerned and I'm still worried because I don't know where they are. And followers of Jesus can get into that situation. When we stop seeking God, we move away from Him. He does not move away from us. We move away from Him. And even though we might know, yeah, I know I'm related to Him. I know I'm a child of the King. I don't feel very child of the King-like at this particular point in time. That's why Jesus said, look, you can seek all these other things, but if you do that, you're going to separate from the Father. You're going to pull away from Him. Don't do that. Instead, seek first, primary importance, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. And so two thoughts as we sort of wrap this all up. Two key words. One is location. Stay close to God. Stay close to God. The scripture says, draw near unto God and He will draw near to you. When I am seeking God, I feel close to Him. When I'm seeking God, I feel close to Him. And when I feel close to Him, I don't feel worried because I know He's got my back. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, David writes. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If you know that psalm, if you haven't memorized, you'll also know that he begins that psalm by saying, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. He begins by acknowledging his what? His belonging, his relationship to the shepherd. And he recognizes his presence, and it keeps him from worry, even though he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And I can't give you a plan for this. But and the way to stay close to God is to read His Word. Fellowship with His people. Serve Him in ministry. It's not rocket science. But if you come to church 30, 35 weeks a year for an hour, that's not seeking God. I'm not sure what that is. Maybe it's making you feel good or whatever the case is, but it's not seeking God. And it's not establishing any kind of intimacy that's really going to work for you when worry comes. When you know, when you read His Word, you fellowship with His people. And it doesn't have to be this church, it can be some other church. But when you spend time with Him, you draw close to Him. And when He's right there with you, you're not nearly as susceptible to worry and fear. When I'm seeking God, I feel close to Him. Another word that we need to deal with quickly is expectation. You could do a whole sermon series on this word as it relates to worry. So much of what we worry about are expectations that are not met. But the problem is that God's never given us those expectations in the first place. And so we worry about things that often, again, will happen in the future, or perhaps expectations that we have established. And God says, I'm sorry, but I never promised to meet those expectations that you have. And so when we instead, here's the key thought, when we seek what God desires for us, then our expectations line up with His revelation. What God says to us in His Word He's going to do, He'll do. And when we keep our expectations in line with what God says He's going to do for us, we're less likely to worry. And it relates to all kinds of things. It can relate to college. It can relate to promotions. It can relate to employment. It can relate to health. Whatever the case may be, what are the expectations or what is the revelation that God gives to you? Match up your expectations with that revelation. See how that eliminates worry? I can set up an expectation for a particular lifestyle or a particular lifespan. And when it doesn't seem that it's working that way, that can bring worry and stress into my life. But I don't really have a revelation of a promised lifestyle, nor do I have a revelation of a promised lifespan in the Word of God. And so if I'll just stick to what God tells me, then I don't have to worry when those expectations don't get met. When we seek what God desires for us, then our expectations line up with His revelation. And this is a continual process. Because removing worry today doesn't insulate us from starting it up again tomorrow. So you can't say, okay, I've got a relationship with God. 4 years ago on Tuesday, I was close to God, so I'm good. No. It's a process. It's a process. It's an ongoing seeking God. It's an ongoing relationship. We tend to wander from God. We tend to move away. But when we continue to seek, He continues to drive out worry. Seeking and serving God are continual action words in the Scripture. So my final question is just simply this. How does what I worry about fit with serving and seeking God? Go home, think about it. Football can wait. Go home. Think about it. Think about how it is, the things that I worry about, the things that I lie awake at night, the things that even can lead to health issues for me. How does what I worry about fit with serving and seeking God? Do I really believe that God has my back? Do I really believe that this God who created the world can't handle my problem? And that's probably a belonging issue. Because God says when we come into a relationship with Him, we're a child of God. And He's a lot better parent than any of us are. He's a lot better parent because He has resources. He has all kinds of things He needs. He never loses His cool. He never gets it wrong. He's never selfish. That's who you belong to if you know Christ. And then are you seeking Him? Again, I can't tell you how to do that. I can give you some suggestions. But are you really seeking Him? Because isolation and separation will lead to worry. Jesus says, don't worry. People who look at us on the outside, if you're a follower of Jesus, they look at you, they wonder, why does he worry so much when he claims to belong to God? It impacts how people think about us. It impacts what people think about our God. Maybe today is a turning point. Today is a day. You know what? I'm going to take Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to heart. I'm going to take Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where Paul says, do not worry. I'm going to take that to heart. I'm not going to take that and put it on my wall. I'm not going to take that and think, okay, that's great for the super Christian. I'm going to take that and make it a truth in my life by seeking and serving God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this truth. You are a great God. You are a great Father. You are an amazing God. Forgive me of all the times that I sell you short in the way in which I live my life. But in this particular area, may you move us to decide. Yes, there will be stress in our life. Our lives are loaded. We have responsibilities to care. We have responsibilities to be concerned for people. But we do not have a responsibility to worry. May we serve you. May we seek you. May we let you take care of everything else. In Jesus' precious, powerful name, we pray. Amen.